Here's the monthly report for Aid Northwest. Aid Northwest is Advocates for Immigrants in Detention Northwest. Aid Northwest supports immigrants in detention and when released from the Northwest ICE Processing Center in Tacoma through welcoming services focused on transitional support and connection to vital resources for resettlement. This is the Aid Northwest Welcome Center report for the month of February, 2024. Chris, Kim, Jerry, and I greeted one man from India who wanted to go to the Sikh temple. We saw a woman getting out of a minivan, and we asked her if she was waiting for someone to be released. She said she was from Romania, and her relative had been taken into custody by ICE. She had spent 2 days trying to see her relative, contact a lawyer to help with this case, and assure her aunt in Romania that she was doing everything she could to help him. She was told by ICE that her relative was in quarantine for 10 days and she couldn't see him. The only thing she could do was put money on his account for cigarettes. Our guest from India shared a lot of information about conditions inside the detention center. He said that there are many people on hunger strike due to the lack of adequate health care, sanitary conditions, and clothes for detainees. He accepted a jacket, gloves, and hat before Jerry drove him to the Sikh temple. And Deacon Juan from the Franciscan community leads Mass inside the detention center. He stopped by the Welcome Center to ask what the greatest areas of need were, since he has parishioners who would like to help with donations. We told him that coats, hats, gloves, snacks, and soda are always welcome. And around 5 p.m., we spoke with a man waiting in a car outside the release gate. Realizing he was waiting for the only person to be released today, we offered him snacks, water, and a warm coat. As always, it is a privilege to serve with these incredible people. And we had a successful trip to the airport after a few hiccups. The currency exchange guy said he couldn't change the Chinese couple's Canadian money without a passport or driver's license. When I explained and offered my license, he broke the rule and changed the $1,500 Canadian dollars for them using their ICE ID. When we went to security, the TSA agents were nice, but unlike most times, they acted like they were stumped. We had to stand aside for at least 10 minutes to wait for a supervisor, and he was flustered, thinking he had to search their property. After I explained that the ID is normal, he let us through. The Chinese man spoke some English, but his wife does not, and she was very stressed, thinking they might be detained again and miss their flight. I walked them toward the gate, and they were so appreciative and sweet. His sister and family are in New York and are citizens, so it was a happy trip to the airport. And on a lovely sunny day, we were able to assist two men to get to their destinations. We were told the first man from China would be coming out about 2:30 with a plane ticket already booked, and he did. He had a red ID card and an early flight at 6:30 p.m., and his attorney asked us to escort him through security. So team members Cynthia and Diane whisked him off to SeaTac for his trip to Fresno. He had been in detention for 8 months. Cynthia and Diane used SeaTac visitors' passes, which they requested online, before leaving for the airport to get themselves easily through security. However, the TSA agent had never seen the red ID card. They had to get a supervisor to come check, and even then, Cynthia had to tell them that this was all the ID he had. Without us, it seemed he would not have let them through security. He had a boarding pass with a first-class seat. His family from California had purchased the ticket because it was the only seat left on the flight. Maybe that contributed to TSA's suspicions. Meanwhile, a second gentleman, originally from Sudan, but who had lived in Alaska for 10 years before being detained, was released about 4 p.m. He paid cash for his ticket, which we booked for him. So, while two volunteers stayed to close up the RV, Dave and Catherine, with their SeaTac visitors' passes secured, took the second man to the airport and through security to his gate. It turned out it was easier for the man from Sudan with a red card to get through security than Dave, because Dave had left his driver's license at home. Having read recently that a person can often actually get through security at SeaTac without an ID, we went ahead and were successful with an escort for all of us to the front of the line and with a lot of extra scrutiny for Dave, whose things were thoroughly searched. And one guest quickly got a ticket to New York, but it was for March 4th, so it took a bit of time to get the date corrected. Steve headed out at 4:15 to take him directly to the airport. One other guest was picked up by a friend. In addition to our two guests, three TCC students joined us. They were assigned to research local organizations, and they picked Aid Northwest. They had perused the Aid Northwest website ahead of time, so they were already well-informed. They were on time, inquisitive, sensitive, and asked many very insightful questions. They engaged with us and our two guests, helped put together some decorated Zach lunch bags, assisted the guests with clothing, and observed the transportation process. And we had a good day with some sun, some good conversation, and best of all, one sweet young woman from China as our guest. She arrived around 3 with few belongings, and through a phone call translation app and her relative on the phone, we found out that she was going to Los Angeles, had been in the detention center for 51 days, and already had her ticket. Fortunately, her name and the flight departure time were perfect. We took her to the airport. And around 3 p.m., a friend of a detainee came to our RV. He said that his friend called from the inside that he was being released at 2 p.m. Finally, around 4 p.m., an Indian woman and a Cambodian man were released. The man went straight to his waiting friend. The Indian woman was flying to New York City, and she speaks English well. Her family gave her a credit card number, and we used it to buy a ticket for a flight leaving tonight. And our first guest was a very polite gentleman who spoke Punjabi, but no English. We used Google Translate to communicate. His relative bought a ticket to New York, and Jerry took him to the airport. A very helpful ICE person called to let us know there would be one more person released today. He was from Mexico, and his lawyer stopped by to let us know who would be picking him up and take him to the bus station for a bus to Portland. We waited until his ride arrived, gave him some clothes, and sent him on his merry way. We gave out food, a belt, two pairs of gloves, a coat, and two backpacks. And we welcomed our first guest shortly after 3 p.m. He was originally from Nigeria, but had been living in Florida for several years. He had a strong command of the language, so we thought he'd be okay taking the bus to the airport. He wanted to donate some money to some of the people still inside, so Chris took him in and helped him with that process. At 4:30, we went inside to ask if there would be any more releases, and were told that the final two releases for the day would be sent out shortly. One of them, a young man from Turkey, was being picked up by his girlfriend. The other, a young man from India, was bound for Indianapolis. The lad from India spoke very little English and had a flight for 6 a.m. Wednesday. The shared concern was that he might be unfortunate enough to get one of the TSA officers who wouldn't let him into the departure area before midnight. Chris and Kim decided that rather than putting him on the bus, they would drive him to the airport and make sure he understood what was happening. And we welcomed a new volunteer today. Maya trained Elena, and she jumped in to help with our two releases. They came out around 5:30. Donna helped secure a ticket to Sacramento for the man from India. He was happy to be flying out the same night. The other man was from Mexico and spoke only Spanish. We were grateful to have Elena, our only Spanish speaker that day, to translate for us. He was heading to Bellingham, Washington, and was short of funds. Perry, our driver volunteer, spoke to some friends by phone, and they agreed to buy him a bus ticket for the next morning. As always, it was a joy to help these men and see their smiles of gratitude. And a man from India was picked up by friends. A woman from India went to New York City to reunite with her fiancé, and a very relieved and happy woman from Mexico got to go to her family in Arizona. Donna took the two women to the airport at 5:40, and the rest of us closed up the Welcome Center. And one teenager from Mexico was released today about 2:30. A second woman released at the same time got in a waiting car and was headed to Seattle. The teenager, who came out with a valid Mexican passport and had flown into Canada, quickly connected with a relative who bought her a ticket to Los Angeles. She only spoke a few words of English, so it was great to have Naomi to be able to record all of her information and give her instructions about buying the ticket and the flight. She had a large amount of belongings. Fortunately, we had a good-sized backpack with wheels that worked perfectly. There was only one direct flight at 6 p.m., which we normally won't do because it means having a volunteer leave the Welcome Center short-staffed to leave early to take them to the airport. But since there have been so few people released lately, we decided Naomi would take her to and through the airport. It worked out fine. And we took shelter in the RV until we saw three guests braving the sideways rain on their way to the tents, a man and woman from India and another man from Ecuador. The man from India was headed to the Sikh temple where his brother was going to pick him up. The woman's friend had already bought a ticket from a cheap tickets website, and we were unable to print her boarding pass. Jerry planned on helping her once they arrived at the airport after he dropped the gentleman from India off at the Sikh temple. A lawyer from the man from India stopped by to drop off documents that the man would need. Jerry had already left for the airport, but generously turned around to pick up the documents. The lawyer is an appreciative supporter of Aid Northwest and made a $100 donation. Meanwhile, our guest from Ecuador waited in the tent for his friend from Spokane to pick him up. And today was a blustery day at the Welcome Center with 10 minutes of hail to spice it up. Five people were released. The first two were both men from India. One of them spoke English quite well. They wanted to go to the Sikh temple. Half an hour later, a young woman from India came out. She had minimal English, but a relative in Kentucky was able to talk to Christine and pay for a ticket to Louisville. With few options, she will have to wait 4 hours in the Detroit airport between flights. Marcia took the young woman to the airport and the two men to the temple about 4:45. At 4:30, the ICE supervisor called to say that two more men would be released, and they arrived at 5. One man was from Afghanistan who was planning to go to Maryland but needed some time to arrange funds for the ticket, so we took him to the hospitality house. The other young man, only 20 years old, was from Mexico and spoke little English, so I got to practice my Spanish with him. He was going to Texas to see his aunt. After some problems using the Aid Northwest credit card, he was able to give us cash left from money his mother sent him for the commissary, and Christine used her credit card. I drove him to the airport and handed him off to Marcia, who was waiting patiently for us. It was a busy night at the airport. The man from India had an Expedia reservation with no confirmation number on it, so we got his boarding pass from Delta. After waiting 20 minutes to get the TSA agent, his boarding pass would not scan, and we had to go back out and reprint it. They allowed us to jump most of the queue, but I don't know how he would have gotten through the airport without a helper. The young lady had a Mountain Dew and a water bottle in her bag, so that was another slight delay. I left them happily eating pizza and French fries. The young man from Mexico got through easy because he had a passport. Join us for our next community meeting, which is March 20th, 11:30 at Peace Lutheran Church, 2106 South Cushman Avenue in Tacoma. Lunch is provided. Join us to hear Amy Koo, Executive Director of the Tacoma Community House, talk about the work they do with refugees and immigrants in the community. That's March 20th, 11:30 to 1 p.m. at Peace Lutheran Church, 2106 South Cushman Avenue. Please let us know you're coming by emailing here, officeassistant@aidnorthwest.org. Office assistant, all one word, at aidnorthwest.org. aidnorthwest.org.
This is Louisa Beal with Aid Northwest. I'm here with Christine, who is a volunteer with Aid Northwest and is on the Welcome Center and is also on the Communications and Marketing Committee. So, hi, Christine.
Hi, Louisa.
It's good to talk with you. It's been a while. So, some of the things that I'm interested in, specifically with Aid Northwest, is how did you become aware of Aid Northwest?
Yeah, it seems like a well-kept secret, doesn't it?
It does.
Yeah.
Too well-kept.
Right. My husband and I were overseas for 10 years, and when we came back in 2017, I heard about, the detention center I didn't even know about, and certainly not Aid Northwest, but I heard about it from a volunteer who was at the Tacoma Friends meeting. And it just really spoke to me. I've lived in 7 different countries around the world. I've been so...
7?
Yeah, 7. Just, it's amazing.
So which ones? I heard about Lebanon.
Well, before that, I went to this crazy, wonderful college called Friends World College. Mm. And through it, I lived in Japan and Kenya and Switzerland. I had my senior project. I got a job at the UN in Geneva.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, amazing. Yeah. And after that, I was back in the States for a little while, and then I went off to Thailand for 2 years. And then later, after kids, my husband and I were in 3 different countries, Lebanon and Azerbaijan and Malaysia.
Wow. Yeah. Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah.
So can I assume that you were a polyglot? I mean, do you have other languages?
No, it's just terrible. I have 2 channels in the brain. One is English and the other is other. And I can produce the most magnificent sentence with a mélange of the 7 different languages that I've studied. It's hopeless.
Yeah.
But I do have a really good receptive language, which is helpful. I can try to understand what someone is saying, even though I can't speak back at them. So anyway, people have helped me all over the world, you know, just so many times and in so many ways. And it just thrills me to be able to be a Welcome Center volunteer where we greet people on their release from detention, sometimes, you know, mostly, I guess, in very having been through very, very difficult times. And we greet them and we are happy to see them, happy to help them get on their way to, they're all almost all on their way, mostly far away around the country to reunite with family members. And so we do a lot of travel planning. And so even if I can't say nice to meet you in their language, I'll remember something about, if it's a country I've been to, I'll remember something about the food or the places. And we've had several Kurdish people whose nationality is Turkish, but they don't identify with that country usually. So I'm able to say a couple of the names of the Kurdish towns, and even just saying that little tiny piece of information from their life is a wonderful way to...
It's quite a
connect.
Very personal connection.
Yeah.
Yeah. The only thing I've been able to do is learn how to say, where's the bathroom in 5 languages?
That's fairly important. Yeah, at one point I knew in Chinese, this is terrible, you shouldn't put this on the radio, but if you must, I knew how to say, hello, I love you, thank you, goodbye, and Happy New Year.
All important. All important.
So...
So wow. So you do a lot there. Okay, there is the Welcome Center. Okay. And so what is your role there?
Well, maybe we should tell people who don't know what the Welcome Center is. We have a large RV that's parked outside the release gate and 2 large tents. With COVID we introduced the tents to keep some distance from people, and we often have so many releases that it's just too many for the RV anyway. So pretty much we operate out of these 2 tents. And we have volunteers there every weeknight of the year, four of us usually, waiting for people to be released from 2 o'clock to as late as 7. And we just watch for them coming down the street. They are all almost always carrying all their belongings in the world in a clear plastic bag. We offer them hello and a backpack, a coat if it's cold, telephones to contact their family. We help work with their relatives to arrange usually air travel. And then we have other volunteers who come and usually drive them to the airport. Sometimes if we have a lot of people, we'll take some to the airport bus instead. So that's in briefly what happens at the Welcome Center.
It's so important. My goodness. From what I understand, the detention centers in the tide flats and the Welcome Center is the only thing around.
Right.
Miles probably.
Yeah, it was started, the detention center began in 2005, I believe, on a former Superfund site. And it's in the middle of this industrial area, quite hidden. I mean, it's a mile from the nearest bus or store or telephone. So it's if we weren't there, people would be just wandering around. Because very few of the people being released have phones. And if they do, they're dead. You know, they need the battery to be charged, or they have a SIM card from some other country that isn't useful here.
Oh, my. So what you do is very important.
Really is pretty critical. Yeah. And we have a really good relationship with both ICE and GEO, which is the private prison firm that runs the place. I mean, we may not agree with the politics or the reasons for why the detention center is there, but having a good working relationship with them it's been very beneficial to us. Just treating them like, you know, they're nice people or people who want to do the right thing.
Yeah.
It goes a long way. And now they call us almost every night. They call us to say that there are no more releases.
Oh,
so
nice.
We know that we can go home, may be at, you know, 5:30 instead of waiting till 7, or if we're freezing out there in the tents with our little gas heaters. They also let us know how many releases they planned for the next day, which helps us to get more volunteers
in
if they're expecting a crowd.
Yeah.
And it also, we have other programs that are benefited. We have a book donation program, and we give $20 phone cards to a large number, I don't know the number off the top of my head, but phone credits to people who request it inside. We have arts and crafts programs, and all of those things are facilitated by the kindness of the willingness of the warden and GEO to let us, you know, do those things.
Yeah, because they wouldn't really have to. They don't have
absolutely
to do anything.
Absolutely not. Yeah. To my knowledge, I think that's I'm not sure it's the only book program, the only arts and crafts program in a detention center.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, it's a big special deal.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Wow. So you do other things with Aid Northwest, and one of them is a committee that I'm on with you, which is communications and marketing?
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. In my past life, I was a professional editor, so I enjoy editing, articles for the newsletter, or I enjoy actually writing procedures and policies for down at the Welcome Center, how it's complicated running the RV and the travel planning. And so that we put all that to paper and try to keep it updated. So I do that sort of thing.
You remind me of a unicorn, you know, this creature that loves policies and procedures.
Yeah, I know. It's crazy.
But you're good at what you do. I mean, I've sent you a couple of things for your perusal and whatnot, and you've made some suggestions that have made an amazing amount of difference.
Whoa.
So I really appreciate
that. That's really good to hear.
Yeah.
So we're, you know, there are 200 volunteers at Aid Northwest, and we all find our little, you know, niches of what we enjoy and what we have, the ways that we can help make it work.
So. Because, you know, not only with volunteers, but in life in general. I have a motto that is on my email, and it's actually painted on my car that says, if it's not fun, you're not doing it right. Mm-hmm. So, you know, the whole thing about struggling to get something done, you know, right. It's like, wait a minute. Yeah. So yeah. It sounds to me like 8 Northwest is really fulfilling that. You know, yeah. Because volunteers, mostly. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's no way you're going to force them to do anything.
Right. Right. It can get really hectic at times. And we have been able to hire a couple of part-time people to take on roles that are really critical. So that, yeah. that relieves yeah. Some yeah. of the pressure.
But when I've talked to them, they seem to enjoy their job.
Yeah.
And that helps.
Yeah. And the teams we have down at the Welcome Center, it's just a total joy. The people who are wanting to be there to provide an important service to people from all over the world.
I interviewed a couple of the Welcome Center volunteers, and I always ask, you know, is there something that you really like? Because, you know, if they're continuing to do this, they must like it. And they always tell me that, well, there's two things. There's one that is the joy of seeing the relief and the gratitude of the people who are released. And the other is working with these wonderful volunteers.
It's true. It's amazing.
Yeah.
And so many, you know, people from all different, there's quite a few of us old retired folks, but there's plenty of young people too. We have, you know, people in university and so forth. And people come and go. I mean, there are certain times of the year that some of us can't work, but it's always an interesting crew. And it's not an easy job. There's so much to learn. I mean, just the travel planning is one whole chunk, but then we have, you know, other things to consider. If there's, we had 15 releases one night last week, and just trying to get one driver, well, we were all willing to drive if need be, but one designated driver for getting people to the airport. So we had to consider, and we had two women, so we didn't want, we didn't talk to the women at all, but just because there were women, and in some cultures, women are not comfortable being close to men who are, they're not related and that mm-hmm. they don't know. So we had to make sure we had the seating in the car to the airport figured out so that they could have one sit next to each other without someone next to them. And we had to decide who of the, whatever it was, 10 going to the airport would be okay taking the bus. And you look at how comfortable they are, how, if they speak any English, how like savvy they are with airports and travel. We do have a wonderful thing. World Relief works with us. They actually run the Welcome Center every Friday, which is fabulous. Ooh. And they have a network of host homes that we're able to use, one or two days a week. And they created a video on how to navigate the airport in Spanish. So for people taking that we put on the airport bus who happen to be Spanish speaking, we'll stick on the video and put them in the corner and say, watch this, and hope that that helps. Because you never know how it's going to go at the airport. It could get a really nice TSA agent who looks at their horrible ID card that says ICE in huge letters on it, and that's the only ID they have. Wow. Or if they get somebody who looks really, thinks that this is not right, and they have a hard time. You know? So that's why we love our volunteer drivers, and we're looking for more volunteer drivers. If any of your people listening might be interested, we have some wonderful drivers who will go into the airport with them and walk them all the way through. And that's a huge help when you think how big SeaTac is, how many gates there are, all the, you know, crush of people. It's overwhelming.
I mean, I've been there a number of times, and the last few times it was, I didn't know where I was going anymore. And, you know, which line do I get in? And, you know, not even knowing where my flight's going to be. And it's like, oh God, I don't want to do that anymore.
Right. But we do have these wonderful people who enjoy taking people all the way in. So
that sounds really rewarding.
Yeah, you know? I'm not sure I would like that part.
Yeah.
I like...
Well, we each have our needs.
We do. We do. Yeah.
Yeah. Then with the marketing and communication, okay, because again, being an editor, you know, communication is an art.
Yeah.
And so what sorts of things, I mean, I should know this, but our listeners don't know what sorts of things happen in the CNM committee.
Right. Well, because we are, Aid Northwest is an organization that relies 100% on donations, it's really important to get the word out. And once people know what the organization does, they're very often inspired to donate because it's so compelling. But getting the word out is difficult. We're making regular posts on Facebook and Instagram. You find that under AIDNW Tacoma. So Aid Northwest Tacoma, both of those. And we have a newsletter. Website is just AIDNW.org. We have a speakers bureau. If your community group or church or school would like to learn more about immigration detention or Aid Northwest in particular, we have volunteer speakers who are really good who could go out and make those presentations.
Yeah.
There's one educational performance that we've had in the past that I've just learned we're going to be able to hold again in September, called the Detention Lottery.
Detention Lottery.
It's an immersive educational portrayal of what actually happens in immigration court, and it's really exciting. And a group of lawyers in Seattle put it on. There's been a huge lull during COVID, but mm-hmm. they're updating the script, and we'll be having it on September 30th at the First Christian Church in Tacoma, 6th and Orchard. And I believe the time is 7 o'clock, but mm-hmm. needs to be confirmed. But yeah. that's a really fascinating way in just, you know, an hour or two to get an understanding of what how people's lives are on the line in that immigration court. And without those without counsel who are... the majority have very little chance of gaining asylum through that.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
How powerful. Well, yeah. I look forward to seeing
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I'm glad we can get that going again.
Okay, and September 30th. I will
yeah,
save the
Saturday.
Day.
Yeah, yeah. And yeah. And that's something that's available if people wanted to have that shown in their church or to their group.
Mm-hmm.
But
so is it going to be recorded? Or do you know?
I don't know. Okay. Yeah, I don't know. That's something we should mm-hmm. should look into. And I don't, because we don't, Aid Northwest doesn't put it on ourselves. It would be, that would be a decision for the, I don't know if they're called Global Law Advocates. I don't know the name of the group in Seattle who puts it on. Yeah, so events like that we deal with in the Communications and Marketing Committee. So not only, you know, printed things or social media, but other events to try to get the word out about what Aid Northwest.
Wonderful. Before I let you go, one of the hardest questions that it is sometimes for me to ask and for people to answer is there something that's difficult for you in this work?
Well, sometimes there, you know, I'll have 5 tasks, and if they're all spread out, it's no problem at all. But sometimes they're, for whatever reason, they may all need to happen at the same time. And like you said about, you know, enjoying the work, I am retired from paid work. So I have to stop and remind myself. But I'm also, you know, the people are depending on me to do something. So it can get a little bit pressured at times. But and at the Welcome Center, when we have 15 people and I'm the team leader, it's quite a responsibility. But somehow it always seems to work out.
Yeah.
There's always some new thing that comes up, you know, when we have that many people. We had three Romanians last week who just wanted to call an Uber and go to the airport. We had to explain, you know, they don't take cash at the airport. You know, you have to anyway. So different challenges come up, but especially at the Welcome Center, you have feel like you have support to help suss things out.
So. Well, challenges can be a fun thing, you know, problem solving. So if that's the hardest thing for you.
No. Not bad. No.
I'm so glad that you're here, and I am glad that you were the one who got me roped into all of this.
Yay! I'm so glad that worked out.
Yeah, me too.
Lucky to have you.
So is there anything you'd like to add?
Well, just a pitch. It's such rewarding work. If it's something that might interest you, you know, poke around the website, aidnorthwest.org. You know, send an email. We have this new video, 3.5 minute video, which I think is on the website now. If it isn't, it will be very soon. But that's a good way to get a basic understanding of the need for what we do and how it affects some of the people that we serve.
Yeah.
So we're always looking for more Welcome Center volunteers, for volunteer drivers, and visitation. We have another program. Now this is something I couldn't do, but people sign up to visit someone inside the detention center. Regularly, like, I don't know if it's once a month. And we also have pen pals who will write to a particular person inside. So that's another way to get involved.
Yes.
Or donate if you can't do anything else and you appreciate what the services provided to people leaving immigration detention or inside immigration detention, then please do. Send a check.
Wow. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, wonderful. Yeah. Well, it's been great talking with you, Christine.
Thank you, Louisa. Yeah. I appreciate it.
You can register now for our next community meeting. Email us at officevolunteer@aidnorthwest.org. Again, that is officevolunteer@aidnorthwest.org. Aid Northwest is financed 100% through donations from individuals and private organizations. Aid Northwest relies on the over 200 volunteers, a small paid staff, and is only possible because of the many generous donors. Please visit our website for donation information. Financial donations, as well as donations of food, clothing, and backpacks, are gratefully accepted. There are many volunteer opportunities, from assisting at the Welcome Center, supporting immigrants while in detention, to serving on a committee. You can learn more at the website aidnorthwest.org. That is aidnw.org.
You can email us at volunteercoordinator@aidnorthwest.org.
Aid Northwest. Supporting immigrants with dignity while in detention and upon release. Thank you.